2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. I really believe that God has a word for us today, one that I trust will bring great reminders to you of just who you are and your positioning in the Lord Jesus Christ, reminding you of who you believe in and what He can do for you at all times. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent, I am bold towards you. But I beg you that when I am present, that I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Father, I ask you today to give me a powerful anointing that I would be able to share this word that you've placed in my heart that we all need to be reminded of, especially in the day that we live now, in the times that we live in, the hour that we live in. And I ask you to do this, that you would be glorified, God, and that your children would have the knowledge of weaponry that they need to walk in victory and to be overcomers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're living in a time of great warfare. I'm sure if I ask any of you to testify if you've gone through anything recently, I would be surprised if someone didn't stand and testify. Probably different battle stories, but there are testimonies of struggles. Battles are raging in homes, in places of employment, at churches, in cities, towns, and countries across this world, even as I speak this morning. People are confused about what is going on in their lives. For example, you know, I'm born again, everything should be right. Everything should be wholesome. Everything should just be flowing so smoothly. But people are confused today because of the things that are going on in their life. I want to remind you that some of you may remember this back in 1991 when I prophesied this at the Vine Christian Fellowship of the vision that God gave me of the Bay Area. And an enormous army that was so symmetrical, shape, length, and size, just being released across the Bay Area. Their uniforms were just all in black, very symmetrical, and you could not see the end of it, and you could not see either side of it where it ended. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is being released against the church." And people just kind of took it as though maybe this is happening and maybe it isn't happening. Well, now that we're looking at nearly 24 years later, approximately, there's even more so a rage of attack being placed upon the church in this world today that we need to be aware of and understand. Christians are the answer to this confusion because we can show them Jesus, the captain of our salvation, and the deliverance. We can show them what it is to be delivered and how to win in battle. But if we're confused, the world will be confused. If we're confused, then the world's going to wonder where they can find help to go through the situations that they may be going through. We can show them the author and the finisher of our faith. We can speak to them about the confusion only when we learn how to win the warfare that we face daily. This warfare is amplified like never before in our lives and the lives outside the kingdom parameters. It's amplified. Have you ever witnessed the news recently? Have you ever witnessed family gatherings and the talk that goes on and the situations that are going on in family gatherings? Have you ever been concerned about situations and circumstances that you happen to overhear in the employment area that's going on in people's lives, that people are unsure of what they're going to do? We have the answers, but we've forgotten how to use the answer given to us through Scripture. They're there. We have those answers. We know exactly how to respond, but we've forgotten what to do. We have allowed the enemy to beat upon us and trick us into believing his lies. And we think that a momentary prayer will change the ratio of the attack. It will not. You should look at your neighbor and say, it will not. A momentary prayer will not slow down the attack of the enemy upon your family, upon your church, upon you as an individual, upon your loved ones that you may know that aren't even living for the kingdom at all, that aren't living for God, aren't living to serve God. We have the answer. And if we're silent, we are failing in our Christian walk. If we don't express the answer and if we don't act out the answer, there are promises that God has given us that bring peace and deliverance to us through warfare. One such promise is found in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. There is victory in Jesus Christ's name. There's no weapon that can be formed anywhere that can prosper against you unless you allow it. Unless you allow it to penetrate. And you allow it to take hold. And you allow it to have victory in your life. Let me read it again to you. Have clarity on this. There is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper.
Right. Amen.
No weapon that's formed here on earth or in hell can prosper against you.
Right.
None whatsoever. Has no victory in your life. You have the victory every day of your life. Will battles still come? Of course they will. Battles have been coming and will continue to come till the day of the Lord. Battles will always be there. But it's how you handle the battle that makes a difference in your character, in your response to the Lord. There are weapons, spiritual evil weapons that have been created in hell to destroy you and to ruin your testimony. And each and every Christian has a testimony. I think the greatest testimony is this. Grace has saved you through faith and you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb of God. You have been sanctified and you're filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Someone should shout, I am sanctified. I am filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I have the Lord in my life. We have a testimony. And some people don't ever want to share their testimony. They feel like they've not had a testimony that is great as somebody else's testimony. Friend, there's no greater testimony than you've been saved by grace through faith, that you've been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater testimony than that, that you've been sanctified, that you've been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and fire. There's no greater testimony to know that God has touched your life and has cleansed you from all sin and has set you free from the bondages of hell. There's no greater testimony to know that God may have touched your body one day and healed you of a disease that the doctor said there's no way you can be cured and you've been healed. There's no greater testimony to know that when God shows you something that's about to come and forewarns you and you're prepared for what happens and you raise up the shield of faith and it quenches every fiery dart of the enemy, every missile of the enemy. It totally protects you. There's no greater testimony to know that we have an armor that we can put on. We can gird around our waist truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We can pick up the shield of faith that shall quench every fiery dart of the enemy. We can pick up the helmet of salvation and the word of God. And out of our mouths this day shall and will come forth his word. Let me tell you something. You have a testimony. And so no matter how rough the terrain you are in during the battle, you have victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Family of God, we must be obedient to the call of God in our life and walk in the walk of God that he has given us. It's obedience that makes a big difference with God. It's obedience in how we respond to his word. It's obedience in what we react to when God speaks to our life to do something. We have a God who cares about us. We have a God who watches over us. In Psalm 91, it says that 1,000 will fall to our left and 10,000 to our right. The Bible says that there's not a wall built that we cannot mount over the top by his strength in our life. Amen. Let me tell you right now that God is our safety. God is our Savior. He is our King, and he is the one who gives us victory in our life. We need to be obedient to the call of God and the walk of God that he has given all of us. Don't listen to the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. Live for God. Live for truth. Live for the Word. Then you will have victory. The Word declares this in Isaiah 41 and 10. I love this scripture, by the way. It's my favorite scripture in the Old Testament. Fear not, for I am with you. Look at your neighbor and say, fear not. I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You see, no matter what you're going through, no matter how bad the terrain is, no matter how obscure things look, and no matter how confused you may feel, you need to get into your heart the word of God and begin to speak it and understand that what you speak, it drives the enemy back. Also, the promise that should be on your lips in every battle in Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. But now thus says the Lord, who created you and who has formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Do you realize today that you've been redeemed?
Yes.
I don't know. I think people forget that they've been redeemed. Do you forget what you were like and who you are now? I think people forget who they were, and they even forget where they are now. Because the strongholds are attacking them in their mind and pulling them down. You see, strongholds begin in your mind. Because filters are broken down by the enemy. And he starts to place things into your mind and you build up strongholds. And you begin to believe these strongholds. You've been redeemed. You've been set free. Redemption means you're free. You have liberty in Christ Jesus. We sang the song today. Praise God. We sang the song, shouted from the rooftops. I wanted to run out the door, by the way, and jump up and get on the rooftop and shout his name. I like to act out worship. I think it'd be a good thing to do. Get up on the roof and shout, Jesus, you redeemed me. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's so important that we understand what Jesus has done for us. It literally states there, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. In other words, what he's saying is there, I've made it personal. Not only have I redeemed you, but I have called you by your name. I have called out Ivan. I have called out got to find somebody else that's saved here. I have called out Alex, praise God, hallelujah. Amen, praise God, hallelujah. I have called out the church. I'm not going to go through every name, but I'm just having fun with you. But let me tell you right now, he has made your salvation personal to you.
Amen.
I have called you by your name. I've called your name. I've made sure that you know this redemption is for you. That you have victory. I have formed you. I have created you. And then he says, you are mine. In other words, there's such a great love between us that I am saying to you that you are mine. In other words, he's saying, I am your God. I am your Savior. I am your Creator. I am your Redeemer. Praise his mighty name. When you pass through the waters, I'll be there with you. You're never going to be alone. Once you start walking with God, you'll never be alone. Every battle that you're going through, you'll never be alone. I'm there with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. In other words, no matter how rough the waters get, no matter how deep the waters get, you will never go under. They will not overflow you. I will keep you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Praise God. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got in that fire, that furnace, 7 times hotter. It was turned up. King Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and he said, I thought we put in 3 men in there, tied up, bound up, where they couldn't move, they couldn't run out, they couldn't help one another. But now I see a 4th one in there, and he is like the Son of Man. Let me tell you, no matter what you're going through, if no matter what fire you may be in, no matter how hot it may be, the flame shall not scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Say, I'm saved today. I didn't sound like anybody meant it. Just, you know what? You know the guy at the stadium that goes, hot dog here, hot dog, hot dog here. And you stand up and go, hey, I want a hot dog. He sounded more saved than you all are. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We need to understand that when you're saved, I love to act out my salvation. I love to tell people about Jesus Christ. I love to tell a city about Jesus Christ. I like to tell a nation about Jesus Christ. I like to tell the world about Jesus Christ. There is a King who is alive forevermore, who died on Calvary's cross, who was set in a grave and rose on a 3rd day out of that tomb. It was empty when they went there, and he rose 40 days later, praise God, and he went up into heaven and now standing at the right hand of God, forever interceding for you and I. Every day of every moment of every hour, he is speaking our name before God. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Someone shout amen. Yes, there are weapons that belong to us, and they are not carnal. We have weapons: prayer, the word, fasting, speaking in tongues, faith, love, the agape love, holiness. And we need to know that the Lord will walk with us, and he will even be with us through every tribulation and every time. There are weapons that people use that are carnal, like gossip, lies, seeds of discord, envy, jealousy, bitternesses, unforgiveness, and even hatred. Those aren't weapons that we should use against one another or against somebody at work or against someone else that you may not even know of, but you're just caught up in somebody else's trouble. Am I making sense? Do you have to understand that we need to use the weapons of the word? Fasting in prayer. Praise God, knowing that faith will take us through any battle. Faith will give us victory no matter what goes on. He promised Joshua before they entered into the promised land, knowing there were to be battles never before witnessed or fought. In Joshua 1:5, he said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. All the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13 tells us this. God spoke to his people, and this promise is a continuing promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be there for you. Praise God. Let me tell you something. God will never leave you no matter what you're going through. He'll never walk away from you no matter what you're going through. He'll never turn your back on you and no matter what you're going through. He loves you with a love that cannot be broken. His promises are sure. His promises are a foundation to us. His promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus by us. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Would you praise him for a minute in this house? Joshua 1, 7 through 9, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Boy, I tell you, I love this. I love it because it tells you this is how you'll be successful. Get the word in you. Yes. Believe my promises. Know I'm there with you. Don't let words go out of your mouth that's going to fall to the ground. Let words that come out of your mouth go into battle. Go into the battle that are tear down the strongholds, the powers, the principalities, the kingdoms and the dominions and the rulers of darkness in high places. Tear them down. Get rid of them out of your life. Let me tell you, we're living in the most difficult, harshest time that the world has ever known towards Christianity. We're living in a time where it is getting so difficult to even speak the name of Jesus Christ. There is martyrdom going on across this world like never before. Let me tell you something. Speak his name. Know that he's there with you. Know that he'll take you through any trial or tribulation that you may be going through. I'll let you know that God has never forsaken and he never will. When fear struck all of Israel in 2 Chronicles 20, the Holy Spirit told the prophet Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. He said, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. And he said, listen, all of you, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Position. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to learn about being positioned. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Go out against them, for the Lord is with you. What was the key here? Positioning. Position yourselves. The reason that people go through so many trials and fail through them is they're not in position. They're not in fellowship. They're not in the Word. They're not in a prayer position. They're not seeking God. They laugh at the things of God. I could get through this all by myself. They're apathetic. They're lethargic towards God. They like unfair weights and balances more than they love justice. Let me tell you something, my friend. We have to understand that there is a God that wants us to be positioned before him. To position to be winning every battle in every area of our life. You need to be positioned. It's amazing that through the centuries, these simple truths, yet powerful truths, have been practiced and yet also overlooked in the most treacherous times of warfare. right after Joshua receives these promises and breaks down the walls of Jericho by the obedience of God, by the shout, by a shout, by a shout, the walls come down. I think people in church need to learn to shout again. They sure have gotten quiet. They sure have gotten quiet in worship and quiet here and quiet there and quiet with their response, quiet everywhere. They don't have a shout left. Let me tell you, you know, speaking God's word will help you get through a day. Wake up every day and open the Bible. Read God's word. Say good morning to God. He's been there all night making sure you're safe. Say good morning to the Lord and He will bless you and keep you in every area of your life. Joshua, right after these go down, he decides without God's help, he's going to go up against the king of Ai. He goes up there, sends just a few thousand men up there, and he loses a few thousand men. And they come back and they're just all of a sudden like, what happened? He went somewhere, he got out of position. You see, when you're out of position, you will not be able to fight the battle properly. When you get on you let the enemy isolate you and get you separated from the people in the kingdom of God. When you get out of position with those who you have fellowship with, when you stop seeking the face of God every day, he gets you isolated in your problems. He gets you thinking a stronghold that no one cares. There's no help for me. I'm not important. Let me tell you, my little granddaughter, Stella Blue, the other day said this to me, and I stopped immediately what I was doing, and I responded. She looked at me, and she said, I am not important. 6 years old, outside influences telling her that she's not important. I told her for the next 3.5 weeks, every day, you are important. You are special. You are somebody. You are a child of God. You may be 6 years old, but you are important. Praise God. You're important to Grammy. You're important to Poppy. You're important to Mama. You're important to Daddy. You are important. Praise God. Most of all, to the King of Glory. Let me tell you, she didn't leave saying, I'm not important. She left knowing she was important. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy isolate you and make you feel like you are not worth the dime somebody stepped down to buy you with. Amen. Don't believe that. Amen. You can't be purchased by money. You can't be purchased by an individual. You are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Amen. Would someone put their hands together for him today? He loses this battle. But let me tell you the example of someone else. David. Against Goliath states a whole different story. His weaponry was tried on, but it was secular, not spiritual. So David refused the secular battle wear and put on the Lord. And he spoke this to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:45-47. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. This I will do that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's and He will give you into our hands. David took a small, smooth stone and defeated a giant with it because of his positioning in the Lord. Because of his positioning. Why are you here? Because. Do you see, the because means a great deal. The reason you are here, because. Why are you going to the store right now? Because. We need. There's the reason that I'm going to get what I need. There's the reason I am here. There is the reason. Why are you going out? I didn't say you can go out. Because you tell them why they can't go out. There is a reason. The reason David was able to get that small stone into the right spot, it was a one-time hit, because he was positioned in the Lord. I think the church today needs to get back into her position in the Lord. Stop counting on the secular values of this world, the immoral statements of this world. Stop counting on the world that is falling apart, and stand on the foundation that cannot be shaken. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get in position. The Bible says then he took his staff in his hand and he chose himself 5 stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Let me say this to you. This is so full of spiritual truth, what he had in his hand. The staff represents Jesus. He took that out there with him. The staff represents Jesus. The stones represent the power of Jesus, because he is a rock, the Word. The Word is power. That's what it represents. The brook is the water of the Word. We are regenerated by the washing of the Word. And oh, hallelujah, the shepherd's bag is the inclusion of all he needed to defeat the enemy. He had power in one hand and faith in another. Someone tell their neighbor, I've got power and faith in my hands today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We need to realize that we must not sit around and complain about the battle, but we must use the weaponry given to us through the Word. Prayer. I can't believe people don't pray every day. I have the hardest time with this, that people don't pray every day. I have a hard time believing that people don't pray at least an hour a day. I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time. The last statistic I heard was back in 1993. I was so disgusted, I never went back to Barna to look at any more statistics about prayer. But the average pastor in America only prayed 3 minutes a day. Let me tell you something. Prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. To defeat the enemy with. Yes. It strengthens you. It gives you power to live through the day. It gives you a refreshment in your spirit to go through the day. Prayer quenches the spiritual thirst that you have, because you come into the presence of God, because he is just a prayer away. Yes. The Word. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Reading the Word. I can't believe that people don't read the Word every day. That they don't open up the Psalm. I can't believe that it's hard to get people to read the Bible in 1 year. People come through the CAMS program, and they're wanting to go into the ministry. And thank God that the Church of God does not allow this to happen. But they come into the ministry, and one of the questions on the CAMS application is this: have you read the Bible through in 1 year? Or have you ever read the Bible through? Excuse me. And some people put no, and they just want to keep going into the ministry. We will not allow them. They have to read that Bible through before we can allow them to even begin in ministry. It's an amazing thing to me that people don't even know where the New Testament is. Is that before the Old Testament? They're confused about where a particular book is. They're confused about a scripture of salvation. When they're leading a co-worker to the Lord, I don't know where it is. The last thing you need to say to somebody you're trying to help with the Lord is, I don't know where it is. You see, the Word is a weapon for us to be in battle. Fasting gives you power to overcome. People ask, why do you fast so much? Because I want to be victorious every day of my life. I want to be victorious in prayer. I want to be victorious in leadership. I want to be victorious in the battle when we walk with God and we go through life together. I want to be victorious. I want to fast for my children, fast for my wife, fast for my churches, fast for the foundation. And not above all, but greatly so, I want to fast for the poor. Amen. That they will be taken out of poverty into prosperity, hallelujah, that they will know what it is to have a roof over their head. They will know what it is to have fresh clothes on their back. They will know what it is to be able to take a shower in their own home. They will know what it is, praise God.
Amen.
Fast for the mentally handicapped so they could be healed. I fast for the addict that he would be delivered or she would be delivered.
Yes.
Yesterday I was standing there, and a man that I've known for years, just a mess, came there late, about 5:30, quarter to six. We had nothing left but some beans. We got him a big old plate of beans and a spoon, and he squatted down on the ground, and he didn't have a shirt on. He said, Pastor, do you have a shirt? And I was taking off my shirt. I was going to give him my shirt and my T-shirt. I was just going to go home. I didn't care. My wife's seen me do this many, many times. And one of the other guys said, I got a shirt, Pastor. I'll go to the truck and get my shirt. And gave him a shirt. And he put on the shirt. He's looking at me, but his body. He looks at me and he finally stops a little bit. He goes, Pastor, I'm on meth. Totally lost in the meth world. Couldn't stop his body. He said, I didn't know it was going to affect me like this. Instead of eating his beans, he started playing with his beans and mashing them. And my heart just broke. And that's why I fast and pray. To defeat the enemy that tears a human being and ruins his life.
Yes, that's right.
Someone get with me in this message where I'm closing this up. I'm going to go preach it to people who want to know the truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Prayer. Fasting. Faith. Having a faith to overcome. Never give up.
When you feel you have some inabilities, try his abilities.
When you feel incapable, try his capabilities. Don't give up. Have faith. Don't sit down on the sidelines. Have faith. Keep moving forward. Don't let the enemy tear you down. That boy, that man, that man who's probably 30 and looks like he's 50 is a mother's child. A mother's child. And not just some guy that can't stop moving because he's so wired. I don't think any of you have ever seen anybody on meth. Probably not. But let me tell you, it's not pretty.
Shut up.
Not pretty at all. It's his mother's boy. That's why I'd give him the shirt off my back. Not to say, look at me. I've given brand new winter coats to people in Lower Wacker of Chicago. 20 below zero with the wind chill factor. I've taken off my winter coats and at the same moment took off my socks and my shoes and went around barefoot that night without anything on my feet that they would have something warm. Because it's a mother's child.
Yes. the agape love. Have Jesus' love, that passion and compassion flowing through you. Parents, don't give up on your children. Don't give up on them. Don't toss them out into the world. Hold them. Draw them. That world out there is not pretty. Sex trafficking. Drugs. Party drugs. Bars. Nightclubs. Animals. Men out there looking who they can take and abuse, steal, and rob. Don't let them lose their virginity to some bar dude who doesn't care but one night to have some sort of a sexual experience. Hold on to your kids. Don't release them out into that world. How old's a kid? As far as I'm concerned, my kids are my kids, and my oldest is 40. 41, sorry. Don't let go of them. Praise God. Teach them to pray over every decision. Teach them to say a prayer if they're going to be making a decision to do something in this world. Ask them, what did Jesus speak to you? Or what do you feel the word says about what you're about to do? Oh, that may be easy for you to say, preacher. You're a preacher and all your kids are little preachers. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No. Not at all. I just want you to know that you just saturate your children with love, God's love. Saturate them with your actions of faith. Saturate them. Speak in tongues over them. Saturate them. Fast every day. Fast once a week. Fast when you can. But fast for them. Speak the word into their life. And when they're sleeping, if you don't mind, go in there and speak the word. Yes. My grandchildren were just here, as you know. And they'd go to bed at night. And I'd go in there and I would speak the word over Sierra Rose, Stella Blue. Praise God. I would share with them, with Shiloh, Ruby Sky, with Micah Jude. Share the word to them. 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 Every night my daughter would go to bed when she was growing up. I would pray for her. Lord Jesus, give her rest and peace in Jesus' name. So when she comes to the house, she's 32. She's in her 30s. 33. I do know my kids well. I just the birth tension. 33 years old, and I go and pray with her, 33. Lord Jesus, give my daughter rest and peace in Jesus' name. She would weep. Let me say this. I'm going to be closing. I just want you to understand that he will even be in the fire with your children if you be praying with them. It's so important. The word will be with us. The blood of Jesus can be spoken against those enemies that desire to destroy you. It is time for you to rise up with your spiritual weapons and defeat the enemy who is so strong in this day that is trying to destroy you, your family, your ministry, your dreams, your promises that you once held dear to your heart and future. He is using all the resources of this world has to get to you. Why do you think pornography showed up so strongly in the last 20 years? So he can get to people. Take them. Little kids. 12 years old. On computers. girls watching men, boys watching men and women on the computer, 11, 10 years old. Men that know better, watching it late at night. Let me tell you something. Whoever listens to this message years from now, let me say something. Or tomorrow or the next day, let me say something. You may think you're getting away with something, but God is watching you. Pornography has destroyed families, divided them, ruined them. Men watching on a video and then wanting to go into the bedroom with their wife. And the wife says, "No way. I'm not that person that you just saw on the screen." I hope somebody's getting this. Why is our church so small? Why is there nobody in the church today? Because the enemy is pulling people out. And the church is watching it happen because they're not fighting for the harvest. They're not fighting for the families. They're not fighting for the sons and the daughters of the kingdom. They're not fighting. They're just sitting. Well, no, it's because you preach too loud and too long. No. No, not at all. Preachers have gotten silent in the pulpits. They watch the clock. They want to make sure they don't say anything that will offend. I'll tell you right now, I look for stuff to say that will offend. In the Bible, it'll make a difference in people's lives. Praise God. He's strong. As this goes on, many have gone to the sidelines and are waiting for this to be over. But as for me and my household, no way. You know, if I found porn in my home, you know what I'd do? One of my kids, if it was on my computer, he used it or she used it, I would take them into that room and I would take a hammer and I would destroy that computer. I wouldn't care how much it costs, just to show them what can happen. Needles, drugs. Santa Cruz is so full of needles right now that they have to scurry the beaches. The only ones that are city beaches. They have to scurry them and rake them every night and every morning. And they pull up hundreds of needles from the beaches. People down there at night shooting meth. The county beaches, no. Some church folks, friends of ours, were just down there the other day, and one of the friends of that family, a girlfriend of a son, kicked the sand, and luckily her foot didn't go in it, but there was a needle right there with a needle pointing up, used. Everywhere it's happening. We need to come alive, church. Come alive and begin to pray in our households. We need to pray for our households shall serve the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. Amen. One day the Son of God Jesus shall rise in the east and Jesus will be calling us home. Don't let this enemy defeat you with immoral activities, disobedience, fear, apathy, thinking you are powerless and living in defeat. Losing the commitment to the gospel and being more committed to the world than the church. Take a stand in power of his might and see the salvation of the Lord. Bring your mind into captivity of the Lord and the obedience that he commands. Casting down the enemy and everything that stands against the knowledge of God. You are just a breath away of winning and living in victory. Let me quote something that I read just yesterday. Corrie ten Boom said this, "When you are powerless to do a thing, it's a great joy that we can come and step inside the ability of Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Rise up and take your victory today, church. Rise up and take hold and praise the King of Kings forevermore. Position yourself so you can always be an overcomer. Always win every battle, every day of every moment of your life. Pray for the church. Pray for your family. Pray for those that you work with.